At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on, everybody? Ladies, gentlemen, non-binary folk out there, this is the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast. Your weekly AEW review and breakdown. Hold on, let me re-say that because that was a jumble of words. Your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I am your host. I haven't introduced myself in a while, so I'm actually going to do myself for it first here because I actually, you know, I never do, so I'm actually going to do it for once. What's going on? I'm the Duke, the Digital Phantom. The Duke of Derps, and this is my buddy Charlie. Hey,
doing all right. It's a new era in AEW,
a draft era, you might say. No,
hey,
but I think this is gonna be kind of the theme of this like week for us as draft. The NFL draft just finished up, right? And then you know WWE did its draft, which from what I saw went horribly.
Four rounds in 2 hours? GG.
Well, no, I mean, like, I think that the rosters just apparently look really bad too. Like, I don't know. And no one understands why. The news story I saw when I woke up today, Charlie, was that everyone's like so confused at a decision that I think Vince made or something like that to do with the draft. I don't know. Anyway. So that aside, but then obviously we talked about this, I think, last week. Anyway, we're going to be doing an AEW like collision versus Dynamite fantasy draft that we, you know, we love doing fantasy booking around here. And we also are big fans of drafts. Like Charlie, I don't know how many years you've followed the draft and covered the draft for a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like I've followed and covered it with you for like the last couple of years. The last couple of years, I really haven't, but because I'm focused mostly on other things, but. Other than that, I've the last few years before that, I was pretty tightly like wound in on it. So we like drafts. Like we've done drafts for like Big Brother stuff. We've done drafts for nonsense. We'll probably do like a Game of Thrones army fantasy draft at some point with all the lords and that are listed in history and like who's gonna build the biggest coalition.
Vagar, pick one.
Yeah, literally. Oh, dragons tier list. We'll probably do at some point or something during House of the Dragon season 2 because that'd be fun. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this long drawn out intro aside, there are some other things I should take care of actually before I get too lost in the sauce here. I'm going to go ahead and say, what if this is the first time you guys are listening to this show, you can follow us both on Twitter. You can follow me at BaneDuke, that's BaneDuke, and at OCharlie with an X instead of an A for Charlie. And also the podcast itself, you can follow at Eat Sleep Elite because, you know, if you want to be connected with the community of podcasting and wrestling fans that we're sort of building over there, that's a good place to get connected on that stuff. Also, whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to this podcast on right now, make sure you go ahead and follow and or subscribe, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, Pandora, whatever you happen to be listening to us on. Shout out to the Spotify crew. I know you're always growing, and you obviously have large e-peens, even the women. Do we have female listeners? I don't know. Anyway, but do we get stat breakdowns like male versus female? I have no idea.
I don't know, but hey, I can tell you this. Our Canada, shout out the good brother Canadians, because holy shit, you guys are awesome.
Wow. Well, that probably is. Now we're going to regret all those old podcasts where we would do the Canadian accent. But anyway.
Maybe they dig it there, bud.
Maybe they dig it. Maybe they're like, hey, Canada representation. Hey, no. Anyway. Other than that, though, there's one other thing I want to mention. I might mention this again throughout, the course of this pod. Like I mentioned, that fantasy draft we're going to do. That should come out on Wednesday. So we're recording this on like Monday morning. So this should be out, I assume, by the end of Monday. I don't know what time you'll have this out by. Either way, whenever Charlie can get this uploaded. And then on Wednesday, sometime before Dynamite comes on, we're going to have the fantasy draft live. So make sure you guys tune in for that. So if you're interested in that, if that rustles your jimmies, if you're interested in that stuff, then make sure you do that. Speaking of drafts, Charlie, there was a weird, this is just something I just thought I'd talk about because we're in draft mode. There's a guy that like super fell out of the first round that was supposed to go to my team, the Colts.
The betting odd favorite quarterback, Will Levis. Yeah, he was every single other camera shot. It felt like ESPN and NFL Network were both getting a little shot of Will Levis still in the green room looking sad because people thought he was going to the Colts for about the past 2 months and they knew better. Let me just say that. No, he's good. But he ended up finding himself a nice home in the second round on the Titans where, let's be honest, they don't like Malik Willis and they have
the Titans haven't been in need. They've been trying to fix their quarterback situation since Tannehill started to fall off, which was a couple of years ago now. So yep. You know, like,
and so now it's best of both worlds because your team.
It's funny how I stopped watching football for a couple of years. The same storylines are still like Tannehill situation, and because he was good, but he wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. That's what they figured out in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, so you know, they needed a new guy, and that's been a quest for them. So the AFC South, being a Colts fan, has been great because if we could have put a team together, we could have won the AFC South like without question. We made the playoffs nearly every year that we didn't because it was such a bad division. You know, the Jaguars are just nonsense. I mean, I love Tony Khan, but I don't know what's happening there. I mean, I think they're starting to get better.
The Jaguars would bring in all these star players, and then they just end up fucking leaving. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is about that organization. Like, maybe they need a cultural change there. Like, I think that's something I've heard is the culture there sucks, which I don't know, you know.
That's why they bring in Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not going to make any jokes about AEW, but, you know. No, this is when Tony Khan's like, no, you can't use the Elite name anymore. Sorry, that's it. That's the last straw. You're done. And we have to become fucking Eat fucking Khan Repeat or something like that.
We had Khan right. In our title. That's the way. It's the way.
Yes. No. Yeah. If he directly comes after us and says no, you can't use Elite. The Young Bucks own that. I'll be like, all right, fine. We are now the Young Bucks podcast.
We are the Young Bucks.
So we are now the Being the Elite podcast.
So yeah, I mean, all in all, pretty fun stuff this week. And as you know, we like to start off our show with some fun stuff.
Absolutely. And we like to spread positivity.
Some of the we like to kick it off with the favorites. It is an odd numbered episode. We're almost on to season 3 here of our show. As you guys know, we reset after Double or Nothing.
That's going to be nuts.
And that being said, since it is an odd number, you have the first jab at favorites, the first pick. So who's the first pick of the favorites this week?
The first pick going first overall in the Dynamite review draft is Bandido versus Orange Cassidy for the AEW International Championship. All right. This match was just fun. Chaos, you know, the best kind of fun wrestling. You know, we watched a lot of Bandido recently because he was all over PWG from like the last couple of years. And so we were watching PWG a while back. Yeah, we're those kinds of wrestling. But no, I'm just kidding. But in our spare time, we watch PWG and New Japan and Stardom. No, really, we do though, because it's fun. But keep up with the wrestling world. But Bandido is just like really good. It's Orange Cassidy is obviously on like one of those runs right now. I honestly think, Charlie, this run from Orange Cassidy may not just go down as one of the best title runs in AEW history. I mean, it might be the best actually. Is that too far?
Honestly, it's up there.
If it's not it's the best, there. Like maybe Hangman or Kenny's or Moxley's.
Yeah, people really like Kenny's reign. He did some special stuff, including
the three titles and the Young Bucks having both the Impact and AEW tag titles, I think, at the same time or something. Like, yeah, I mean, like, and then like, or no, sorry, not him. Didn't Gallows and Anderson have like some tag titles also? Like they had like all kinds of shit going on. Like.
The Elite, when Gallows and Anderson were in it also, and those guys had the Impact tag titles, yeah, it was pretty nuts.
Yeah, so that's maybe not as good as that, but honestly, it doesn't have to go for that much longer and have a couple more, like, really good matches. And you know they're going to end Orange Cassidy's his reign at this point with, like, it has to be a big money, massive super match. It could be a Double or Nothing, to be honest. Like, who knows? It kind of feels like it's leading to that. I don't know about you, Charlie. That's what it feels like to me. feels like they're building him up with all these last big giant matches that he's wanting to have in this title reign. And then, like, we're going to get one big announcement. He's, oh, do you not think they would have them run back the Will Ospreay match from Forbidden Door, like a month out from Forbidden Door, and then have Will Ospreay walk into Forbidden Door as the international champion?
I mean, hey, you want
to go defend it in Japan for like a month?
Yeah.
Bro.
Hey now.
I would be insane. They did that. Now they'd have to planted the seed for it. But is Will still hurt, or is he able to wrestle right now?
Will's able to go.
God, can you imagine Orange Cassidy does an open challenge at Double or Nothing? Oh dude. Anyway, that's my fantasy booking mind going crazy. But yeah, I'll talk about the actual match. Cassidy did a nice gimmick where he holstered the guns. You know, that was pretty good. These are two guys I really enjoy watching wrestle right now. They're really fun. They're both really, like, two of the best wrestlers in the world, obviously. Everything Orange Cassidy sells, like, every time he sells anything, it just makes everyone look like not just $1 million, like $1 billion. Like, that's hyperbole, but I don't care. I got to ask, because I completely buried the lead. You were actually there for Dynamite this week.
Yep, I was there for Dynamite.
So. What was this match like? What was the energy like? First of all, when Orange Cassidy's music hit, what was the energy like? And go ahead.
So people were definitely ready for the show. You know, they do the little Ring of Honor tapings beforehand, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, God, it's got to start out with Orange Cassidy. Like, just the way that this title reign's gone and everything else, let's start it off with him. I can tell you this, people were really buying into the fact that they thought Bandido was winning this. That people really bought in the live crowd. So, and I was wondering, how did that come across? Like, were you believing? Especially.
Oh, yes. No, I said to you last week on the podcast, I think it's a good chance Bandido could be, if it's not going to be at the pay-per-view, that they're going to take it off of him here and then have Bandido set up an opponent over the next few weeks. And that would feel appropriate, you know what I mean? Or even run it back. Like, again, like, there's so many things you could do there. They don't really traditionally run back titles, but Orange Cassidy's been such a dominant champion. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jade ran back her title
match. That was 20th defense. Yeah. Holy shit. When we talk about Orange Cassidy's title,
it's going to take us like 10 minutes. Yeah, no, it's going to be a while. Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Because so many of the matches were good too. But yeah, go ahead.
I thought this was just a very high quality match. It was probably one of my most enjoyable matches I've ever seen live. I tossed it up there with some of the NXT stuff I've been to in the past. And it's just like, to me, it's so memorable, right? Like, God, seeing Bandido return, he was such a nice breath of fresh air, too. The AEW roster right now is by far the most lucrative it's ever been, right? Like, they've added so much recently without losing anyone. I mean, really, since Cody, they've only lost, what, Allen Angels and, Joey Janela?
They lost Grayson for a time, but yeah, I mean, you know.
So it's like, we really haven't lost a lot of people.
Oh, well, yeah, Leo Rush was a big loss.
Yeah, and it's just like they've been adding and adding and adding. And now you're eating guys like Commander last week, Bandido this week, and holy fuck. And we also had Ty on the show. Like, the AEW roster's looking really nice, and I thought the match fucking delivered. I bought into it. I'm glad Orange Cassidy ended up retaining, and now it seems like they're going to be buddies.
Absolutely. That's a hell of a fucking tag team right there.
Yeah. And that's the kind of tag team I could get behind.
Put them against Aussie Open, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll jump into their match that they're having next week a little later on and some other stuff that they're doing because they were now in turn with one of the big returns. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Actually, not even return. My bad. Debut.
Yeah.
Feels like returns. Feels like he's always been here. Been there in our hearts. But
it's true.
Let's jump to my
By the
favorite,
way, I just
right?
want to say, you got to see some of the absolute best wrestlers in the world wrestle live. That's just insane. Like,
right? It's something I just, it makes me very happy to think about.
And you got to see one of the matches I've been wanting to, like, that we both been wanting to see for a while, which is, like, Darby versus Sammy. You got to see that live. Like, this is nuts. Like, you know
fucking
what I mean? Like,
Sammy. I get the cheer. Everyone was booing. I got the cheer, son of a bitch.
You cheered, no. Sammy? Oh, you healed. You healed.
I'm that guy.
Turned heel on the crowd.
So here we go. He was my favorite, right? It's definitely one of the tags. It's either, I was either thinking Juice and Jay or the Kenny and Takeshita. But my heart is saying Kenny Omega and Konosuke Takeshita defeating the Butcher and the Blade. I thought this was a really fun main event. And since it is the main event, we'll tie in with the segment after it because it's kind of all one big thing. But the story here is these guys were kicking ass as a duo, I thought. Because we know how smooth Takeshita is. And when you tie him up there with someone like Kenny, who's probably one of the smoothest, like, that's what makes him so special. He, everything he does is just beautiful. And together, that combo pairing worked so well. The overarching story here is Takeshita going to join the Combat Club? You know, that's he's now bled with him, so that's step one. He might still join him, but yeah, I thought as a tag, it all worked really well. I like seeing the Butcher and the Blade in the main event, giving them the main event spot. There's a couple guys behind me that were timing out starting a CM Punk chant. They did, and it got booed out of the building, which made me fucking laugh. these guys were literally sitting right behind me, and they did that.
I'm surprised you didn't even, like, punch them.
They were like, they're trying to time it up to go like, hey, yo, because one guy was being like super loud all show, saying some stuff that probably shouldn't have been said, but save that for another day. And they're like, hey, yo, big man, let's start the chant. Let's start a CM Punk chant. And they hear him time it in, and like six guys do it. And then that elevates into like 30 on our side. And oh my God, it got booed out of the building. Did that part come across on the broadcast?
No, I didn't hear that at all.
Damn. But yeah, it got booed the shit out of, and it was pretty nuts. It's pretty funny. I was sitting there laughing. I'm like, yeah, fuckers.
It might have, and I just didn't hear it, but it's possible. But I
yeah. So that was pretty good. And yeah, I mean, outside of that, the story after, the Young Bucks came out, landed their super kicks. By the way, Takeshita's blue thunderbomb on the Butcher was fucking beautiful. Seeing Kenny hit a Snapdragon, that put a smile on my face. And Takeshita ends up winning with a charging knee strike on Butcher. This is their first match as a tag team in 2023. They need to change that. We need more Butcher and the Blade tag team matches. That stat surprised me.
That's actually kind of crazy. I mean, they've been on Dark and stuff, haven't they?
Everything's been a trio or singles or more.
Oh, true, because they were rolling with Kip for a while, so that's... Damn.
Which Kip, with his new hair, looking good. But
I love how Kip always hits some like actually insane offense on somebody and manages to do it during a distraction. Like the guy, just all ability to deliver is just insane.
So post match, Danielson was on the stage saying, you know, the professional got the pin. An amateur looked exhausted. If Takeshita changed with the Combat Club, he'd be a star. But he chose to side with the Elite, who has guys like Brandon Cutler and Nakazawa. Yikes. Combat Club attacked Omega and Takeshita from behind. Danielson told them to finish the job on Omega from last week. Young Bucks ran out from the back, dished out all the super kicks. Danielson was telling Takeshita to get in the ring and save Moxley. Takeshita seemed conflicted, stopped Omega from using the screwdriver. The BCC break things up, stand tall with Takeshita. He refuses. Yuta hits a low blow. Danielson said he made his choice. Moxley charged, used the screwdriver, and left him bleeding.
Yeah, he like did like a gang stabbing on him. Like, Jesus Christ, that's what someone put on Twitter. It's like, all right, the Dynamite ended with some gang violence. I was like, yeah, it's kind of shit, you know?
It is a hot angle, to say the least, right now. And I gotta tell, I am loving this story. I'm so invested in it already. And yeah, what'd you think of the match and the post match angle? Do you think now that Takeshita's bled? Do you think this means he's one step closer to joining the Combat Club?
I mean, I think with everything with the Combat Club, like, let's go back to the start of the Combat Club. It all started on the question of whether or not Jon Moxley was going to turn heel or Bryan Danielson was going to stay, you know, turn face and or what, because we knew they were going to form into a team. It seemed like that everyone realized that was the direction it was going towards the end, even if some people thought, you know, one of them would win. It's like, who is going to win the world title between the two of them? There was a question because everyone wanted Danielson to win, right? So, but they also, Mox was the correct guy to put it on at that time. So it's like, you know, I mean, it has been the question has always been, who is this going to go this way with Wheeler? Was he going to end up joining the Combat Club? That one went a lot faster. Will William Regal turn on the Combat Club? That was a seed that was planted so long, but you never really believed there was a chance, you know?
Yeah.
And then it happened. And then William Regal left the company. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say yes or no, because that's the great thing about the Blackpool Combat Club is, and this is why there's like the most compelling thing in AEW right now, is because you truly have no idea what they're going to do at any given moment. They could be, you know, the baby faces that are going to take down the evil JAS who are doing a lot of what they're doing now, except minus the stabbing of people usually, you know. But other than that, I mean, we're throwing fireballs in people's faces all last summer, you know. I mean, you know, so it's an interesting juxtaposition, for one, that they're there now where the JAS were back when they fought the JAS at first. I don't know. It's just really interesting. And I have no idea what's going to happen. So I'm excited.
And the other thing, I have never seen a tag team, let alone a faction, just get this much just open reign of being as brutal as fucking possible. And it's getting them over. I mean, not that they need it, but it's getting the unit over more and more. People are resonating more with the Blackpool Combat Club because of how fucking vicious and badass they all are.
I think a testament to that is that Wheeler never really got reactions when he was even first in the Combat Club. Not that he couldn't get them. His first match he had on TV with MJF, the crowd was like going nuts, you know what I mean? Like the first big time match that I remember Wheeler having on TV, that was the one, I want to say, that wasn't like against like Moxley or Danielson, you know? And
yeah, I think so.
So, because they had him wrestling those guys for a while, which made sense given what they were trying to do with him, but eventually he needed to be trained up, you know what I mean? Like, he needed to be a member and not just like a trainee, you know? And now when he comes out to do like singles titles defenses on Ring of Honor, which we know are taped in front of an AEW crowd, you know what I mean? Well, I guess he doesn't do them anymore, but when he would get reactions. When he was walking around as just like a regular guy for a while, he gets reactions now. So, you know, like, I think that's a testament to how they've grown as a unit and how you're saying that stuff like that's getting them over. I think so. I agree.
So we got some news, not too much news, and most of it's about other companies, but we got a little bit of news that we're going to talk about now, and then we'll hit some Ring of Honor and some AW Dark results. No more Elevation results.
Rest in peace, Elevation. I covered that shit for God knows how long, you know?
Like, probably like a good year and a half almost.
Yeah, for sure.
It's probably like 18 months. You've covered that show the past 18 months, and now it's gone.
And it's gone.
So that's
no more Matt Menard on commentary. Sorry to say, everybody.
You think there's any chance he gets a collision call, maybe?
No, but I think there's a chance that they use him more as the JAS's voice on Dynamite or Rampage when Jericho's not there. I think there's a good chance of that.
That'd be good.
But they also might throw Daniel Garcia in that role, because Daniel Garcia is kind of like, I don't know about you, to me in the JAS, the number two to Chris Jericho is Daniel Garcia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say Sammy Guevara, because he's been with him since like the, I know he's positioned above, but right now like he's off doing his own thing. And, like, Sammy's kind of his own separate unit from the JAS to begin with, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Anyway.
So, AEW filed a trademark for AEW Wrestle Dream. Guess keep an eye out for that. Maybe that people are pay-per-view? Speculating that's going to be the AEW show that happens in Japan. So.
That would be cool.
Now that we've had Forbidden Door, it only makes sense to run an AEW show in Japan. So I guess it makes sense. Trinity, former WWE Naomi, she has debuted in Impact Wrestling. And CM Punk was there. So it sounds like CM Punk was invited. If we're going based off Twitter, CM Punk was invited from Mercedes. She sent an open invite to him and he actually came. It was in Chicago. So, hey, that's fucking awesome. Good for her. I mean, we've always liked her. I mean, we used to talk about her all the time when we were doing our Raw Audio podcast, how much we liked her. So good for her. I like the name Trinity. It works. I believe it's a real name too. So yeah. And what else we got here?
It is kind of weird to think that, not that she wouldn't be able to do this anyway. It is just a weird thing to think that, because the way wrestling couples usually work, that in like the third biggest wrestling company in North America, that there's the wife of one of the biggest, most over stars in wrestling, you know what I mean? In one of the Usos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's like vice versa with Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona. It's like,
yeah,
she's heavily featured on WWE programming. Well, he's,
which I didn't expect, not because of the whole shit with her that everyone already knows, but I mean, I didn't expect that, cause when she was there before, she wasn't used like that. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know.
So, we got one little sad news of AEW. Commander may have suffered an injury at Demand Lucha Show. He faced Gringo Loco and Edez in a main event three-way match. And he sounds like he hurt his knee after a moonsault. He was taken to the back and did not return. And pretty much said there was someone that posted about Commander attempting to return to the match but was limping badly and wasn't able to continue. I'm sure we'll get more of this news as it develops since it is so fresh. Maybe we'll hear more about
it. It could be
Wednesday.
One of those things where because he came back out, they must have not thought it was serious, you know what I mean? And then maybe it was a little more serious, but it's not going to be something that puts him out for a while, hopefully.
So, New Japan Strong has another show in Long Beach. We've been covering that slowly but surely. It's happening Sunday, May 21st. Resurgence. Another AEW member has been added, and it's none other than John fucking Moxley. Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Well, shit.
So, John Moxley's in action. We also have the card as of now is the IWGP US Championship number one contenders match, Will Ospreay versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. John Moxley is in action. And then the tournament for the New Japan Strong Women's Championship, which will feature Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer and Willow Nightingale versus Momo Kogo. A lot of people are speculating. I've never seen those names before, so I could be saying them totally wrong for what it's worth. But a lot of people are thinking we're going to get Mercedes versus Willow in the finals here this night. And fuck yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's resurgent so far. So we'll keep an eye on that. They're back in Long Beach on May 21st. That's not the only New Japan thing. And then after this, we'll get into our results.
All right.
Hiroshi Tanahashi has been added to Team Okada at New Japan Wrestling Dontaku. So Dontaku is the show on Wednesday morning in the U.S. and Wednesday night in Japan and everywhere else in between. So what's that card? Okay, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Sanada against Hiromu Takahashi. The Never Openweight Championship, Tama Tonga against David Finlay. Never Openweight Six-Man Tag, Minoru Suzuki, El Desperado, and Ren Narita defend against Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Jesus. That match is going to slap.
Right. New Japan World TV Champion, Zack Sabre Jr. defends against Jeff Cobb.
That's going to be a short match, but it's going to be fun to watch Zack Sabre Jr. get thrown around for a bit and then win with a submission.
Agreed. Strong Openweight Championship, Kenta defends against Haiku Leo. And then they got
that could actually be really good because of the size disparity.
And then they got their usual tags with a Young Lion Gauntlet and actually, it was a really big New Japan title change on a recent show, but we haven't had a chance to go watch the match yet. But Kevin Knight and Kushida are the new junior heavyweight tag champions. Kevin Knight picking up a New Japan championship. Fucking awesome on him.
Yeah,
seriously,
absolutely.
That's cool.
Going from strong to fucking being an actual New Japan champion. That's insane.
And good on him. And I believe he posted, he said he's the fifth champion in New Japan history that's black, so
that's really
good
cool.
On him. That's really cool for him. And obviously Kushida now,
I'm sure that puts him up there with some legendary names, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and Kushida, think about all the great tags we've had with him. I mean,
oh yeah, he's a very good singles wrestler, but if you put him in a tag team, and I've just like universe mode when in the games that he happened to be in, I just would throw him in tag teams sometimes just because he's really good and his moveset's kind of perfect for it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so their tag team is the Jet Setters, which at some point, Duke and I will get to that this week. But yeah, we have, other than that, it's finally time we can catch up on some wrestling that we've been wanting to catch up
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely, yeah, I don't know when we're going to do that, but we definitely
it'll be fun.
Do that.
And
we got some Japanese wrestling. I mentioned that we watch it, and we're a little behind. Like I think we were behind like one title defense on Mercedes's reign and like a couple of other things, like. We definitely missed like one New Japan show, I think.
But yeah, we got the Dontaku on Wednesday, which would be fun.
Yeah, we might watch that live if we can.
So I'm guessing this is probably how we're going to do this now. So AEW Dark and Ring of Honor. So let's start with Dark, since it's technically earlier in the week, right? So I guess now, you know what? Let's do Ring of Honor and then Dark. We'll just flow them into each other now.
Okay.
So, Ring of Honor, we had episode 9, and we had an ROH Women's World Title Proving Ground match, Athena defeating Lady Frost. I love seeing Lady Frost back.
Please just give her the contract already, Tony Khan.
Yeah. If she doesn't have it, toss that at her after this especially. She gets a reaction, too, every time she's out there, which is really nice to see. And if there's anything on certain matches you just want to jump in and say, just go for it, all right? Because I'm not really sure what the plan here. The Kingdom. So we then jump to the Kingdom, talk about the frustration.
Dude, this segment was long.
The Kingdom one? Yeah, it lengthy video package. So instead of getting a rematch against the Briscoes at Final Battle, they lost the Top Flight. Instead of honoring Jay Briscoe by winning the tag team titles at Supercard of Honor, four other teams got in their way and took that from them. Now they're not going to stop until they get back at all the teams that were in that match. Simple, yet it makes a lot of sense.
Also goes to what I was saying. If you're going to form the tag division and maybe even all of Ring of Honor right now around a group, the Kingdom is Ring of Honor, like blood and bread. Like if you can't get Danielson and, you know, Claudio and all those people to be there all the time, this can be your go-to team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of some tag action, La Facción Ingobernable, Preston Vance and Roosh defeated the Infantry. Pretty quick match. Vance won this with a full Nelson. He tried to finish it off with full Nelson.
Roosh is so over with the Ring of Honor crowd. I know it's the same crowd, but holy shit, when they know to give him those extra reactions in Ring of Honor. I love that. You know what I mean?
And Roosh ended up hitting the bull's horns on Bravo for the victory. He's fucking awesome. I'm with you, 100%. Best friends there.
Do you think that Preston has, by the way, I think Preston's stock has gone up a lot. Dude, every time I see him with that fucking thing of masks, and I know where it's from because he's taken the work of building that up over weeks. That was such a subtly, you know what? Okay, underrated storyline of last year, that storyline that they just did for months that nobody was talking about, where he was just collecting masks every couple weeks, you know what I mean, on Dark or wherever. And by the end, he had this fucking new gimmick gear thing that is awesome and like metal as fuck.
And I think, the next level is getting a mask off from like a really, really popular wrestler. That's how you just complete that storyline.
Who would it be? Should he take Bandito's mask?
It's got to be someone that's willing to take off their mask. I mean, we've seen Andrade do it in the past few years. Santos Escobar did it in the NXT as well. It's got to be someone willing to take off the mask and wrestle without it. Because, some guys are just like that. And I'm sure Roosh at one point wrestled with his mask and took it off. So, is this got to be someone willing to do it? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. That would be a great
move. When Gringo, I guess, as we heard from commentary on the Vikingo match, Gringo Loco took off his mask not that long ago, and everyone was surprised at what he looked like. So,
I mean, that's the thing about the mask. You know, you can't always tell. You know what I mean? So
the best friends defeated Joe Ocasio and Mookie Summers. Shout out, Mookie.
I literally put
Summers.
Some dudes in my notes.
pile drivers and the Doomsday Knee.
Yeah.
Brian Cage defeated Leon Rushen. This was the definition of a quality squash match. It was it was an enjoyable squash match.
He had a really nice counter at one point. They need to use Leon Ruffin more.
I would be perfectly fine if he got the legit, hey, if we hear that, Fightful Select seems to be the thing that breaks all these. If we see from Fightful Select, hey, Leon Ruffin is signed with the Ring of Honor AEW tier deal, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. He'd be great, single. You know who he'd be a great opponent for right now if you don't have one for the pay-per-view? Samoa Joe. All right.
He works so well in a David vs. Goliath match anyways, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's his bread and butter.
The Dark Order defeated the Trust Busters, and this was
Chiefs
game.
Is this the first Uno Dos tag up we've had in over a year? I feel like it is.
It's been a while. The Righteous watching from the stage. I'm ready for these guys to just get in the action.
Yes, I want them to either recruit Stu or something They need to do something. The match they're gonna have, based on how this. Dude, I just gotta say their theme every time it hits. It can hit every match of the Dark Orders for the next couple months because it's fucking great. You know what I mean? It's actually awesome.
Agreed.
It puts me, I don't know, the first time, you remember, it was at a pay-per-view when they brought him back, because they'd just gotten back. It was, I think it was the last pay-per-view, maybe, or something, I don't remember, but, and they came out, and I was damn, I didn't expect this, what the hell? Because they're really cool. Anyway.
And, I think it's gonna be a fun match. Christopher Daniels was in the back with Dasha, who asked what was the next on his journey to victory? He pretty much said, this is one of the lowest points of his career, but he's going to earn his keep in Ring of Honor and would start from the bottom. He called out Samoa Joe, noting their long history, and challenged him to a TV title match next week. I can say the match did happen, and it's enjoyable. It's a fun little match.
So Christopher Daniels still isn't gonna win a match in Ring of Honor. Okay.
No.
All right, cool.
But you know, I can tell you it was nice seeing Samoa Joe. It made me happy.
Sky Blue defeated
Diamante, and pretty much Diamante being here. How do you feel about that?
I've said that was one of the ones that I hope they use in Ring of Honor, since they clearly don't have any desire to use her even on Dark anymore.
And now if Elevation's gone. So
give her some time on Ring of Honor. That would be a good thing.
But Blue ended up winning with a roll-up, and after the match, Athena came out. Blue's custom hat stomped on it, sending Blue a message. Athena, Sky Blue.
That's going to be a good match.
Sky Blue undefeated in Ring of Honor.
Undefeated.
So, Lee Moriarty defeated Rocky Romero. Wait, what?
What?
Again? Oh, okay. You know, never mind. They had a pretty good match. And then afterwards, he challenged him to a pure rules rematch next week. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I see this match? I did. But I saw the pure rules match. Okay, that makes more sense. So, yeah, Rocky Romero, Lee Moriarty. I thought this was pretty fun. They wrestled. I love their styles together. I mean, I just love Lee Moriarty's style so fucking much.
Dude, again, okay, talking about the PWG we watched. Talk about a guy that was all over PWG the last year. That guy. Oh, my God. But he had a great run in the indies last year, too. Like him and Konosuke had like a meeting that felt like it was kind of like when Wheeler and Garcia, I think, met on the indies a couple of times or something like that. I forget. Anyway, something like that. I want to say, yeah, because I think that's the match we had in AEW was a rematch of that indie match from a couple of years before. So
yeah.
Anyway, Wheeler had a match like that anyway. If it wasn't with him, it was somebody else. Anyway, but anyway, I think the streak of matches that Lee is on right now is, I hope it continues, because this is going to get him over if he does. Like, cause,
and you know what? Just because I don't know if they're on TV again for the rest of this show here. I don't think they are. There's been a lot of discussion about the firm lately. Some people think it's a massive flop of a group. I think some people thought they were going to be MJF's henchmen, which was weird because they quickly established within like the first 2 weeks of them forming that they're not.
Which is a little weird, I'll admit, but
it,
you know,
it is weird.
He hired them for a one-off.
I think
basically.
The group as their own. So they're having the compound match next week.
I think Stokely's a little too, like, for some people, he's not intense enough. You know what I mean? Which I guess I can understand.
Which
like,
I he's definitely, you know, you got to be into his humor, right? Which we both are. We love it. We find it hilarious. You know, him talking about the back of a Wingstop receipt genuinely popped the shit out of me.
Oh, my God.
No, that was great. And it's just like, I think this group has done everything that they've been asked to do. They haven't been put in massive spots, but they've been used frequently. And I don't know.
Bro, they're going to have, like, the first cinematic match, I think, in AEW, right? Like, or not the first one, but, like, one of the first ones in a while,
anyway. The
first
one since the pandemic. And my God, that did it perfect. Do it on Rampage. That's so smart. Because then the live crowd doesn't have to see it. You can play it back for the audience. That is the best way to do these cinematic matches. And that's a way to use Rampage. So
Rampage, baby.
I'm very excited for that. Sounds like they've already filmed that. I saw that in the news, that they've already filmed that. So that's cool. Main event. Gringo Loco, back-to-back main events. Blake Christian defeats him. This was a very fast-paced match. Shout out Blake Christian. I would love if this means he can keep going up and up in Ring of Honor and eventually go for the Ring of Honor title and eventually win the fucking thing. I'd be down with that.
Another guy that's all over the PWG we've been watching.
Yeah, exactly. Any other thoughts you had on this match in particular? And then I'm going to
Like the back and forth they had. And it was like, there was like at the first couple minutes of the match, they were just like doing flippy shit to one up each other, which was really cool. Because I think of Blake Christian because he has such like a technical side to him. Like I think of him as like a kind of wrestler I like. But then he starts doing all this flippy shit, and I'm like, wait, Blake, is that what you actually do? Oh, that makes a lot more sense now that I think about it. But you know, he's just got like a wide range of what he can do. And Gringo Loco is slowly becoming one of my favorite people on Ring of Honor. I really hope like that. The implication we got last week was that he was signed, right? Like, so you know,
I think so.
Like we got like the Ring of Honor equivalent of I'm All Elite, basically. You know what I mean?
We're going to know next week at those tapings if Gringo Loco's
Yeah, because he'll be all over it if he is. Because
if he's
featured in the main event back to back weeks, and then he is signed at that point, yeah, they're gonna start featuring him. Obviously,
taping 4 weeks of shows, that's gonna be awesome.
If they, dude, Gringo Loco could be Claudio's next opponent. That'd be because he's gonna get genuinely over for wrestling like this. Like, I mean, the crowd loved the original match that he had for the AAA title, but I mean that this match is even like I think better because it's just against a random guy. You know, you can have I think anybody can have a really good match against El Hijo de Vikingo, you know what I mean? But not everybody can have a great match against Blake Christian because Blake Christian is a specific kind of wrestler. Not that he's not good at matches, but like, you know.
It just shows his versatility as well. So they did not advertise Claudio's match next week, and oh my god, it is fucking awesome, and I won't spoil it for people. It's fucking great. One slight thing in news I forgot, and then we'll jump into Dark, Dynamite, yeah, and you name the rest here. New Japan did announce their Best of Super Junior starting lineup, and no AEW. I was a little surprised by that. So I thought the timing would work out that someone could get in, but in return, if we're not going to get an AEW guy, I'll be okay with the guy we got. That being said, the A-Block, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, Leo Rush, Doki, Hiromu Takahashi, Titan, TJP, Taiji Ishimori, Sho, and Speedball Mike Bailey. Awesome for the A block and the B block. Francesco Akira, El Desperado, Bushi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Yo, Robbie Eagles, Master Wado, Clark Connors, Kevin Knight, and the newest member of the United Empire, Dan Maloney. So we covered when Dan joined. It sounded like he was going to go to New Japan official. It sounded like Clark Connors was going to New Japan official. And lo and behold, they all are. So good on them all. Obviously, I can't wait to see Mike Bailey toss it up. There's going to be some matches in there. Mike Bailey and Takahashi. Dude, come on.
Mike Bailey versus TJP. Mike Bailey versus Leo Rush. Leo Rush. Mike Bailey versus
you name it. So
everybody.
That's gonna be fucking awesome. That being said, it's not Elevation, but Garrett, AEW Dark episode.
There is no Elevation anymore. It's canceled. All right, it's gone. See you fucking later, pal. This is AEW Dark episode 193. All right. Makes me sad. There's no more Elevation in my notes. Anyway, Harley Cameron took on Mafiosa. I didn't really see anything special here, but she seems to be well-trained. She was trained, I believe, by Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze. So those are a couple brothers we like. So, you know, so she seemed like she knew what she was doing. So in the next segment,
like people already care about Harley Cameron in the crowd.
It's because she's been like awesome on those backstage things. She's just like, you know, she's got that like, she came in and she had the three things you need to get instantly over in AEW, which is she had a really unique look. She sounds different than everybody else in a way that's not just like an accent or something like that. Like she delivers her dialogue. She delivers her lines a lot better than some people. You know what I mean? Not that they're bad.
Yeah.
They're just, she's a unique, like, I don't know, sound to her. And
he
then
tossed her in there with Hobbs, who everyone cares about.
And then is put in a spotlight storyline. Like, I think even if this group does, like, if QTV, like, falls flat, which it may have already, but if it does, you know what I mean? Like, then I think that her and Hobbs could both come out of it still being okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of the plan here. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Anyway, so the next thing that happened on Dark this week was we had Brian Pillman Jr. And Brock Anderson backstage. I believe they were talking to Lexi, I want to say. I could be wrong about who they were talking to. Anyway, and they were like, yo, we're a tag team now. We're going to be Lineage. Well, they didn't say that yet, but they're like, yeah, we're officially a tag team now, which I've been saying they should be a tag for a while. It just makes sense. You know, it's like Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase Jr., who obviously, what the fuck happened with that guy? But Cody Rhodes being Legacy, you know, like they've done, there's been like a million variations of this over the years. I think AEW's probably even done its own version of it at some point, but maybe not. But if they haven't, then this is a great opportunity to do it. So we have the new tag team Lineage. That do anything for you, Charlie?
The name's all right. You came up with a much better name.
Yeah. Armed and Dangerous. But I mean, you know, it is what it is.
But I'm with you. I like Anderson, and I've always thought there's something there with Brian Pillman. We just need to figure out what it is. And this is the way.
We mentioned him at the end of the Ring of Honor. The next man featured on the show was All Heart Blake Christian, taking on Big Shoddy Lee Johnson. Both of them have just like great names, like great gimmick names and everything. I love it. This was really good for a dark match. I think they both put a lot of effort into this match. It wasn't as long as like, you know, you'd want it to be, but it's like it's on dark, and I don't even know how long dark was this week, but like maybe like an hour. I don't know. I wasn't even paying attention. I just took notes. And yeah, so it was a really good match. If you need dark matches, like this may end up being a dark match of the year contender early. I don't know. Probably not, but you know, we'll see. But it was really fun, you know, put those guys in a match together and they're going to have a good
I think
time.
We're slowly but surely seeing Lee Johnson becoming the wrestler that we know he can be.
Oh yeah, I think he was always that good.
These types of matches.
I think stuck with Brock for a while. Not that he was stuck with him, because Brock's a good wrestler too. I think it stopped him from being able to like show off what he can do as a singles. You know, but I don't know.
Hey, Lee and Cole, man, I there's so much talent in between those two young men. I mean, serious.
Yeah, 100%. All right. The next match we had was the Wingmen taking on Lineage, which I think they had in their trunks, I want to say. Excuse me. I still think I could see the team working. There wasn't anything special in this match. They worked together well, I thought, but it wasn't anything special. You know, anything you have to say about this match?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Griff Garrison's hurt. I don't like what this could mean for the future of him, knowing that Pillman's entirely moved on. But yeah, It was perfectly fine, right? We're hoping that it turns into something more.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope that they work out as a team. It'd be good. The next match immediately got my attention because it was Emi Sakura and Mei Tsuruga with Balianaki versus Reka Tahaka and Ashley D'Ambois. Like, what a crazy match to just throw on dark, first of all. But, like, But by the way, they've been having Ashley D'Ambois on a lot lately, all over TV, all over Dark, all over Ring of Honor. Like, I think she's going to be on like a multi-contract here soon, dude. I'd be really shocked.
They locked in that contract, and I think sounds like they like her.
Is signed? Okay, I didn't know.
Yes. Okay. The rumored, you know, she was offered it, she officially locked it in, and I could see her becoming. Yeah, used a lot.
She's really good. So, yeah. You know, and I liked what I saw from everybody here. This might have been my first. Have we seen Reka Tahaka before? I feel like we have.
Possibly.
On AEW? Maybe not. If not, I recognize the name. So maybe that's why. But anyway, Mei did some head slapping before the Muda Lock. That was pretty funny. I feel like that's Emi Sakura rubbing off on her. That doesn't sound right anyway.
I love seeing Mei Tsuruga so much.
That doesn't sound right at all. All right, anyway.
So nice seeing her.
Yeah, no, she's good. She's good. And I actually really like her. She's not just because, like, oh, a small Japanese woman. Like, I'm not even being a dick. Like, I'm saying, like, I actually do like her. I think she's pretty good. And I think I think Chaco Pro is probably like actually doing some really good stuff, and just nobody knows about it because it's in Japan. But not that means you can't know about it, but you know, most of Japanese wrestling I feel like is just like completely unknown to most Western wrestling fans. Like, they wouldn't even know that there's like 97 companies and they all are actually pretty damn good, and there's actually like a ton of wrestlers. There's like a fuck ton of wrestlers in Japan, man. Like, I don't even know how they have that many wrestlers there. It seems like there's more there than there is here sometimes, you know, like
The training's got to be just so different.
Well, it's like dojo based a lot of time, right? Like, kind of like how New Japan and All Japan have done it over the years. And I mean, the Noah one, I think, is pretty intense too. Like, you know, like, anyway, the reality
example
Zach Clayton.
Is Gleet. I mean, Gleet started like barely 2.5 years ago, and it's already such a pop. It's getting momentum so fast in Japan. So like, it's so cool to see.
Absolutely. The reality is Zach Clayton. Was on AEW Dark this week. I think we're both over this guy at this point, are we?
I think he can talk. He needs to be paired up with someone that can't. I honestly, if they would have done the hook thing, it would have made sense, and they just didn't. So I don't know. Zach Clayton's good enough. It's just where do they fit him in? Who does he work with? Because the way that they've presented him. Jesus, I just did the thing that almost unplugged my mic.
Nice.
Okay. Putting my hands down. But no, the way they treat him, I want the guy to get success, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool, but I mean, he just hasn't done anything to impress me. You know what I mean? He scared me a couple times. That's what he's done. You know what I mean? Like,
I just think there's so many people that, you know, they're not comfortable on the mic that if you put someone who is next to him, like a Zach Clayton.
But they tried to run the Miz gambit with this guy, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to be able to be a good enough wrestler to make up for the fact? And he's in that stage probably that Miz was at before he ever showed up on TV, but they don't have a system like the Performance Center, you know what I mean, where they can just go have him train with actual like trained wrestlers for a while and I'll get that part down.
They teased it last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Cole Carter talking about taking him under his wing. Let him take under his wing Colden Lee, because we haven't seen either of them talk, which probably means they more than likely are not. I mean, that
Cole's
great
cut
at
some
it.
Promos that weren't terrible, you know, but they weren't good either. So
exactly,
you know.
So you team up with someone like Zach, who could be like, you know, he could be the dad of the group or the daddy, whichever way you want to talk about it. But
if you put Zach Clayton with those two, I think they'll be sleeping with the fishes. All right. Anyway, Silver and Reynolds took on the Varsity Athletes. Apparently there was history here. I don't know if it was like pre AEW or if it was like they're referencing the amount of times they've wrestled on Dark, but you know,
could be both,
but either way, there wasn't much, but it's like, you know, it's like kind of a standard episode of Dark, which is kind of disappointing. I feel like Dark should have been like 14 fucking matches this week to make up for the fact that there was actually no Elevation this week, you know, but when AEW Dark is fucking 3 hours next week or whatever the fuck, you know, like they like to do sometimes, like
it sounds like what I think the plan's going to be is at Dynamite, they tape Rampage and Dynamite. And at Collision on Saturdays, they're going to tape Dark and Collision. And I think that's going to be the way it works. And that's
imagine
crazy
how
to think
awkward
about.
That would be. There's going to be people in Ring of Honor that aren't on that brand. You know what I mean? Like, but they're going to have to go to TV to film.
That's, I don't.
There will be people that work both, but there's going to be people that want to work in Ring of Honor that don't want anything to do with Punk's TV.
Are they gonna record Ring of Honor?
Like, don't you think Kenny and the fucking Bucks will do something in Ring of Honor at some point when there's not something for them to do in AEW? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, like I feel like that would be smart.
They could. It's just like they have history, you know? Certain people, I'm waiting to see if they ever do.
I'm surprised the Bucks didn't win the Ring of Honor tag titles last year because they clearly weren't going to win the world titles again. You know,
not to put like some of their biggest stars in Ring of Honor because they don't want to put them in there too. I think that is.
I mean, Claudio's the champion.
Exactly, but Claudio hasn't won anything in AEW, so I think they're purposely trying to, you see what I'm saying? The Blackpool Combat Club, as you just pointed out, exceptionally, being the exception, definitely, and FTR. But have FTR wrestled? I don't know. Outside of the pay-per-view, on the new Ring of Honor. I don't know, weird. Okay, that being said, AEW Dynamite time, and we kicked us off with the opening match already. Post-match, Renee Paquette is backstage with Adam Cole. He said,
okay, so
call out Chris
pause.
Jericho.
I'm curious. So do they just play it on the screen for everybody when you're in? I've never actually been to a live wrestling show like this. Like,
so, yes, Renee Paquette did pop up on the screen. We did see her. And there was only one promo that didn't play over. And something really cool happened with QTV, by the way, which I'm going to save for when we get to it. So Renee Paquette, she did pop up on the Contron and on the thing above. Since this was at the Florida Panthers arena, they had the big fucking thing in the middle. So if you were, but the weird thing is, there's only lower seating at the Panthers. So the big thing up top, you can't really see it, but they still play it there regardless. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Like the four sided.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I've been to stadiums like that before. I've just never been to
it. So it's like they had that, but you can't really see it. But yeah, the
those only really work for me. I've only been able to use those things in like hockey games because like the seating in hockey where they do hockey is usually more like, you know, like Coliseum type shit, you know, like.
Yeah. By the way, if it was a hockey game and we had those seats, my God, that would have been fucking perfect.
Oh.
I've been to one hockey game there. It was the Panthers and my Chicago Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks got their ass whooped. So yeah, Renee Paquette. You know, she's back there. Chris Jericho doesn't come out. He's going to find him. Orange Cassidy and Bandito walked in. Paquette was asking him, you know, what did they think about this? And they say, oh. And then Bandito walks in. Oh.
There you go.
I like this fun little pairing. This could be fun. If Bandito tries to play up like the Orange Cassidy gimmick, but he's also fucking Bandito. Like,
yeah, like he doesn't ever stop trying to be Bandito, but he just plays. He just walks around like he's like Orange Cassidy. Yeah, that could work. That could be like your top AEW tag team right there. They could win the tag titles.
God. Yeah. So Renee's backstage with Darby and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Allen asked to squash whatever bad blood is between them. Allen said if he had known MJF would get involved last week, he would have been ringside and not in the rafters. Allen said MJF will probably do it again tonight, so ask Perry if Perry would have his back. Perry said it would have been nice of him and Allen, who said he should have beaten Perry again. Both men smirked, shook hands. Allen went on to prepare for the Pillars tournament. And, yeah. Jeff Jarrett defeats Dax Harwood. I'm gonna let you take the lead on this. Your wrestler of the year last year, putting over Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett, up and coming star in the wrestling business, you know. Double J, you know, and he needs to get him over with the crowd, you know. No. I actually really like Dax has been losing in situations where he doesn't really care about winning or losing. I mean, he does. Obviously, he's talking about that in his podcast, but I think in the right situations, he wants to book the story he thinks is going to work best here. And I think for right now, them losing and spoilers for the cash match on Rampage, he also lost. You know what I mean? I think that makes sense, especially with that context. Now it makes a lot more sense. But even in the moment, I was like, he's probably going to lose this match because, you know, they're the cheating heels. You know what I mean? They gotta get over that way.
And both the other guys are single stars. I mean, Jeff Jarrett's like multi-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett is obviously a really good wrestler. We forget sometimes because he doesn't always get put in there with good wrestlers, and he can't always make a match at like however fucking old he is now. Good, you know what I mean? When he's that old, 55. You know what I mean? So that's not bad. He moves good for a 55-year-old. Right? Like, he doesn't feel like, to me, I don't know about you, when I watch him wrestle, I don't feel like I'm watching a 50-year-old guy. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
But anyway, like, whereas when I watch like an AJ match now, I can tell AJ's those flips, you know, AJ doesn't do as many flips anymore for a reason, you know, like, I don't think he can anymore, you know, but I mean, he still can, obviously, but I just don't think he wants the strain in his body anymore, you know, but they had the exact kind of match I like. This was like an old school style wrestling match. There's a lot of lockups, a lot of holds, a lot of, you know, just actually trading wrestling moves and stuff like that. And it's like, unlike a lot of AEW matches, and that made it stand out to me in a really good way. Really, really good counter wrestling in this match, which
yes.
I really, really liked. And then winning off the distraction, hits the stroke on him. Just a really fun match. And, you know, when you say Jeff Jarrett versus Dax Harwood, you're like, okay, Dax is good. And Jeff Jarrett's also good, but Jeff Jarrett's old. Nope, I think Jeff Jarrett's good. I think we could get another 6 months out of him.
Yeah.
So I'm completely fine with this. I don't know about you. Any thoughts?
Again, I think the result really worked. Jarrett getting so good at getting heat, man. I mean, seriously, so good. And the result worked. The match worked. I pay attention to little things from Dax. I mean, you know, because we've seen how he talks about the top rope and stuff. And Dax only ever goes to it when he absolutely needs to. And he was getting to a point in the match where he felt like he needed to hit a little extra damage. He hits that top rope, hits his headbutt. It's a beautiful little spot. And yeah, little things. Yeah, Dax and they're wrestling very, very fast for, you know, especially when you think Jarrett's 55, you're like, whoa. But no, yeah, good stuff. Afterwards, Tony Khan backstage, he announced.
I just gotta say, by the way, Tony Khan with his suit jacket off looks great in a suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. He's backstage. He's announcing the Owen Hart Cup opening ceremonies will take place at Double or Nothing. You and I every week have been asking, when are we getting some stuff in the Owen Hart Cup? Tony's been listening. No, the tournament will take place in Canada. Love that. Also at Forbidden Door, with the finals taking place in Hart's hometown of Calgary on July 15th. I am fucking awesome with this. And by the way, that is like a 8-week, 9-week tournament.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's going to be fun. We'll have matches on. I'm sure they're going to have some. I don't know if there's like a bunch of Canada shows scheduled.
But
I don't know if they have a bunch of Dynamites in Canada or anything like that, but they obviously
the whole
have some
month.
Shows.
There's like 4 in a row.
So yeah, we'll have like 4 weeks in a row of these matches like we did last year, and then it'll split off.
The Canadian crowds are so good too.
Yep, and then we'll split off for like a couple of weeks later. We'll get the semifinals, and then the finals will obviously take place at Forbidden Door. So, you know, That'll be fun. They'll be able to build up those stories of the semifinals again. Like, that was the great thing about the semifinals last week, was because we had that little pause in the middle of the tournament, which usually sounds really bad. But no, the fact that we had a couple week pause in the tournament, it allowed us to build up the matches. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, anyway, and that was one, that was another one of the times Ruby Soho didn't win a championship, huh? Oh shit.
Any of you guys in here that are from Canada and plan on going, have a fucking great time. This already would get me pretty excited.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, they all matter too. And you know, they're all going to be banger matches.
And AEW is not going to, they're not going to go to Canada and lay a giant wet fart. So yeah, enjoy that if you guys are going, and shout out the Canadian Good Brother Brothers. Wardlow with Arn Anderson already beat the hell out of this guy. Arn said the NFL draft's happening tomorrow. Wardlow would be a blue chip number one pick. A year ago, I'd agree with that. Now I'd probably take him in. I'd take a second rounder on Wardlow. But
did Wardlow play football?
If he didn't, he fucking should have.
What position would you have Wardlow play?
Defensive end. Six.
He'd be unstoppable, six, bro. Oh my god, at the speed he can move, he'd be like fucking. He would blitz.
We could teach Wardlow a good.
A one man blitz. You don't need the rest of the defensive line. Just send Wardlow. Jesus. Imagine Satnam Singh on your defensive line.
Jesus. Imagine. But you know, Arn Anderson's doing his thing. They're talking about how they're pairing now. And Christian Cage interrupts, so out comes Luchasaurus. We talked about this last week. Luchasaurus and Wardlow seems to be the next match lining up. And
yeah, it's gonna be a big meat match, the pay-per-view. There you go.
You know, having Wardlow win like this already kind of feels like they're you know, maybe hopefully going back to Wardlow beating the shit out of everyone, but I don't want that to come at the cost of Luchasaurus.
Came at the cost of Hobbs, bro. Hobbs is just floating. He's supposed to be getting revenge. I don't know how that's going to happen if he's just not ignoring him, you know, like.
So, yeah. Renee Paquette is backstage with Sammy Guevara as she is immediately interrupted by MJF. Sammy and MJF are kissing each other's foreheads. Somewhere Max Caster's jealous. They laughed, saying they don't care what people think about them joining forces. Guevara said he had a fat paycheck and gave MJF a matching leather vest. MJF gave Guevara a Burberry scarf. They hugged again. The best friends, the real best friends, as the Pillar Tournament final is next. I was laughing my ass off at this.
Yeah, it was
fun. I
thought
these two were fucking hilarious.
I think it's going to be fun when they turn on each other at the pay-per-view, you know what I mean? It'll be a big spot. It's like when him and Jericho did the thing in the four-way for the Ring of Honor title, you know? It'll be a big spot for Sammy again. He does well with those.
He does well. RJ City. I was like, yes! He's backstage to tell us about how tonight Kenny Omega's teaming up with Takeshita for the first time. Those sons of bitches. Combat Club, jump them, beat them up. John Moxley said they have some scars to leave. Taz was over the moon. That poor RJ was beat up. Son of a bitch, Taz.
How could you do it?
Sammy Guevara defeated Darby Allin via disqualification to win the Four Pillars Tournament final. Take the lead on this one. What did you what'd you think of this match?
And yeah.
Now what we're getting after?
Yeah, this is a match that I've been asking for a while, because I was just like, these two guys are just insane. It's not exactly the match that I was in my head thinking would happen. You know what I mean? They did a little bit of that stuff, but it was mostly just, they just had a really good wrestling match, which I thought was cool. I was expecting it to be like ultra risk spots and craziness, but they did a lot of wrestling. There was a nice tope cutter reversal that Sammy hit at one point, that he's hit on a few people, but it's, you know, when you do it with Darby, it just looks great. They hit a 630 senton off the top through a table, which is just every time we've seen that spot a couple times recently, once with Bandito, I think, with the El Hijo del Vikingo. And then, you know, it's just a nuts spot. And then, like you said, MJF framed Darby, you know, he made him look like he cheated. And then, after the match is really the story, because Tony Khan does the thing I recommend that they keep doing again, which is that he goes to Tony Schiavone in his ear and he says, you know, we're going to make this a little more fair. We're going to have a tag match next week. And if MJF and Sammy Guevara are able to win, then it'll be a fatal four. Sorry, then it won't be a fatal four way at the pay-per-view. It'll just be MJF versus Sammy. And because he rigged the result. But if Darby and Jack Perry win next week, then it'll be a fatal four way at the pay-per-view. So obviously Darby and Jack are probably winning that match next week, but because they want to set the fatal four way up at the pay-per-view. It's been the story the whole time. It would feel kind of anticlimactic if we just got a singles match at the pay-per-view, especially one that, I mean, you'd think they would have to follow through on the rigging it thing, right? Like, they might still have a match, but, you know, I think Sammy could still say he took the fall or something like that. I don't know. It'd be weird. It'd be kind of bury MJF, but, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's just they're trying to justify it in the storyline, which is fine. It's just, you know, in my head, I was just like, does it feel a little convoluted that we did this? Like, they rigged it? Or does it feel like the right storyline? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I still think the plan's four way. They were going to do stuff in the meantime to get some good matches, but also have some stakes. Yeah. I mean, this made sense. It was a little 3 week story to get us into the official match, you know, at the beginning of May. So we'll have 4 weeks of broadcasting with the official match being done. And yeah, I'm liking it. I've been a really big fan of the matches. Sammy is the one that's raising his stock the most. He's not going to win the title, but his stock.
So it's strange, so much better. I don't think I pictured that. Oh my God, I just blew the mic out. I don't think I pictured that feud with Christian Cage as being the thing that got Jungle Boy super over with the audience as a babyface.
Yeah.
But you know what? I got to give some credit to Christian Cage. He got that kid over.
He did. And they had a really good match. And Sammy, I'm just going to say this now. You got to get him out of the Appreciation Society. Seriously.
That's what I was saying earlier. He feels like he's already separate from it, doesn't he? And especially after that segment. Okay, well, I keep spoiling everything that's later in the show. We'll talk about it on Rampage. But the segment that Ty Conti had on Rampage this week, bro, I want more of that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Sammy feels so much better without the Appreciation Society at this point. Someone's got to make the call. Whether it's him or someone else, be like, dude, we got to get him the fuck out of here. Seriously. He is a single star. And so is Ty. Like, straight up.
All right, I have the perfect idea. He gets betrayed by Action Andretti, who joins the JAS.
Oh, no. Oh,
if you can't
please.
Beat him, join him.
No, 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 please, please. No, 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 no. God, no, please, no. No, but you can do anything with Sammy. Fucking have him target Ricky next. I don't know.
Ricky?
So, yeah. Renee's trying to get a word in with MJF and Sammy. We're screaming at the injustice from Tony Khan during his AEW World title reign. MJF is about to get into a waiting car. Guevara tried to join. MJF said it was full. The camera made sure to let us know. He drove off despite having enough space for his, quote, best friend. That son of a bitch, Max. I tell you what. He's no good for nothing. Adam Cole addresses his enemies. He addressed Chris Jericho. Cole demanded Jericho come out from the back. As he said, what they did to Britt Baker last week was unforgivable. Cole's about to go find Jericho. Appeared on the big screen. Jericho said he doesn't want to be anywhere near a coward like Cole. You know, what kind of man would sit there 2 feet away from watching his girlfriend get beat up? He's sending his guys out to get him. Daniel Garcia, Matt Menard, Parker, and Hager. And thankfully, Sammy's not with this group. They hit the ring. They put a beating on Adam Cole. Orange Cassidy and Bandito run in to help out. Fuck yeah. The numbers were too much. Until kill switch engages, end of heartache plays, which, let me just tell you this. I kept thinking it was a new Kyle O'Reilly theme. I was like, okay, Kyle, that was where my
that's what made sense
at.
To me in this spot. But what actually happened was, I mean, you got to tell me, what was the energy like for this debut in person? Like,
kill switch engage comes out, you see the RS, it looked like SRS, and everyone's, again, I'm still
Sean
in my
Ross
brain.
Samuel.
I'm trying to figure out how this relates to Kyle O'Reilly. That's where my brain was at. Boom. You see Strong. The crowd fucking erupts. Roderick Strong, who everyone thought was still in NXT. He runs out from the back. He cleans house. Backbreakers aplenty. He's beating the shit out of everyone. I cannot believe it. We were
this is
on
one we've been asking for a while.
Like a month ago, I feel like we were talking about who is the one person we'd want in Ring of Honor. And I kept saying, I'm like, I know he's not the biggest star in the world, but Roderick Strong, just, he would fit
that,
in
that
Ring
can
of
be
Honor.
Your world champion
He'd
for the next fucking
AEW.
Year. Let me just tell you.
Like, he fits what we've built in this company. And son of a bitch, he's back. The man was on both rosters in the same night, the AEW and the WWE roster. He helped Adam Cole. They hugged. What a beautiful hug, by the way. I feel like you could
see
the
emotion.
And when
we get that trio of the Undisputed Era back together in AEW, and you know what? Fuck it, I'll say it. If he's willing to come back and they can get him to come back.
No,
bring back the Fish.
No. Yeah, bring back the Fish. If you're going to do four, bring in the Fish. I'm okay with it. But like you said, the trio, our trio of Fish, or fuck, of Cole, O'Reilly, Strong. Oh my God, Roderick Strong is All Elite. The Messiah of the Backbreaker. Truly, he became one of my favorite wrestlers in NXT. We would talk about it all the time on our Raudio podcast when we cover NXT. I love the Undisputed Era, and he was the reason it clicked the way it did. Holy shit, the man's out of jail. By that, I mean, he's no longer in NXT fucking hell.
Ball and chain
removed. Contract has been up since November, and he's kept this a secret.
Yeah, they said that they wanted to make it, I think what I read was that it was, the WWE didn't publicize it because they don't publicize when somebody's contract expires usually. Sometimes it's known, like when it's a big star that people want to leave, like in the case of like Drew, you know, like we know when his contract's going to come up and then it could possibly coincide with, the All In or whatever. Yeah. But that we know that because he's a big star. Roddy's never probably had people sniping his contract like that. You know what I mean? So the WWE didn't announce it.
Been very quiet,
and then AEW decided they wanted to debut him in a big spot in a place that made sense. So that was this show in their mind.
I am so unbelievably happy. And yeah, just any other thoughts you have on this where, I mean, Roderick Strong is All Elite and it just feels so good to say that.
Again, one of the ones I've wanted for a while. So much you could do with him in Ring of Honor. I hope he gets a run on the AEW roster as well early in his career with AEW and Ring of Honor. I really hope that in the pay-per-view match, obviously since I don't think we have Kyle back, maybe Adam Cole's first pay-per-view match back is tagging with Roddy against somebody. You know what I mean? Against the JAS.
I can see Roddy making a run in the Owen Hart Cup.
Daniel Garcia. And that'd be awesome. Daniel Garcia, and this could be a Double or Nothing match. Daniel Garcia and Jericho versus Roderick Strong and Adam Cole. That could be a match. Where they probably want singles Adam Cole versus Jericho though to sell it. So, but you know, that could be a TV match anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah,
fun stuff. Really excited to see where this goes. Just a great addition to the roster. Now we have 373 people on the roster, and this one I'm okay with.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, hey, if you're going to have 5 hours of television, you need stars,
right? I know we're about to do an actual draft here in a bit, but if you were off the top of your head, Collision or Dynamite, which show do you think you'd end up on?
I think Adam Cole and Roderick Strong are on Collision.
Okay, that's fair. I would agree with that.
I mean, Dynamite. Wow, I fucked up.
I knew what you meant, though.
I think they're on Dynamite. I see them being guys that, you know, Wednesday and Friday. It's very curious, you know. He wasn't Bullet Club. He wasn't here when they did the Undisputed Elite. This is going to be cool. This is going to be fun to follow, for sure. So, yeah. QTV starts. But guess what? It didn't start in the state, in the arena. They played QTV much later. So, but I was sitting behind the mix board and I could see that QTV was playing. I pointed it out to my sister. I'm like, hey, they're playing QTV right now, but we're still watching Roderick Strong. And like Roderick and Adam were kind of walking back to the stage. People were getting all excited, but I could see QTV was playing. They ended up playing QTV later, so we can talk about it now. But pretty much QT's trying to explain to his full crew what happened. Hobbs is really pissed off. He demands Marshall fixes it, and he keeps telling Hobbs he kept his word as his bond, and they need to go to Plan B. I guess we'll see what Plan B is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I assume they're going to attack Wardlow at the pay-per-view or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so.
Or during one of his TV title offenses, maybe make him lose the title of somebody who we wouldn't think would win it. I don't know. That'd be crazy.
And then our second championship match of the night, TBS champion Jade Cargill with Mark Sterling and Lily Gray defeated Taya Valkyrie to retain the TBS title. So the stipulation here is Taya cannot use the Road to Valhalla or the Jaded, whatever version you want to call it. And yeah, so pretty much here, the match was doing its thing. Jade was getting her shit in. Taya was getting her shit in. I thought the match was going pretty well. Cargill's in control for a good amount of time. Valkyrie ends up hitting a blue thunderbomb for a two. Cargill avoids a charging Valkyrie in the corner, set up the ropes with a superplex off the top, which I thought that was really nice. She followed with an impressive destroyer for a near fall.
Yeah, bro, Valkyrie... Jade hit a Canadian destroyer. I haven't done this in a while, but I mean, I don't know if you still have the soundbite or not, but goddamn, there's only one thing you can say when fucking Jade hits a Canadian destroyer, dude.
Damn!
Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
You got agreed. To see that live. Imagine thinking about that. The one Jade match you got to see live. First of all, you got to see a Jade match because not everyone gets to see that because it's not, she's not, she doesn't wrestle all the time.
That
you
whole
mean?
Sequence, I was like, whoa, we're picking up some pace
this
here.
Is, she can tell she's that she's come real. Along a lot as yes. a wrestler since like the last couple matches she had, you know, which is.
Her and Taya yeah. are working very well together. And I think the way they're doing this, they set up another match, hopefully a double or nothing. And yeah, let's get.
Still don't like the band move stipulation thing. I get why they do it because then like otherwise they would just win. But like, I don't know.
Yeah, but she hit the destroyer. Valkyrie, you know, she gets out of the jaded. She hits a double stomp to the midsection. She goes for the road of hell out of instinct, and she kind of just like freaks out, like, "Ah, shit, I can't." And she let her go, and Jade got a roll up with the tights for the win.
And she let Valkyrie, it go, like, "Ah, shit, here we go again."
Valkyrie was pissed. She started attacking people, and she locked in Aubrey Edwards for the finisher. But Aubrey got out. She got out. I like this. You?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like it. I just, I, you know, I think Taya should be the one to win. And so every time she doesn't win, I'm just going to be like, ugh. You know, like.
I think you're getting more of a chance now because they're setting up the rematch. When, and it did happen. Jade was, in a sense, probably her closest to losing. And something outside got in the way. And the outside this time being a banned move. So it would have been a DQ anyways. And now they're going to run it back. And I've always thought if Jade loses, at least for the past little bit, it's going to be in a legit feud like this.
Yeah, it should be. Because she and hasn't traditionally had that. She's had like a bunch of crappy storylines, to be honest with you.
So now you've had her win while being taken longer in the match. And yeah, so.
Like, I like this because if you go back to the beginning of the storyline, they built up a mystery opponent. You know what I mean? They click.
They click too.
These, and then it was who everybody wanted because it's not always. You know what I mean? And yeah. then they, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's a good, I think it's a good story. It's better than most of what she's gotten. So, you know.
Agreed. And I guess that at the end of the day, that's all we can really ask for at this point, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
So, okay. We just had Britt and Jamie are backstage with Hayter wearing a sling, Baker supporting a shiner in her eye. Baker ran down the actions of Saraya and the Outcast, while Hayter talked about Toni Storm and about injuring her shoulder and declares war. The only way this will be over is if they send Baker and herself to the morgue. That's fucking metal.
That okay. is pretty metal, actually, yeah.
AEW Rampage. JR's out. He's doing commentary. Jay White and Juice Robinson defeat Ricky Starks and Shawn Spears. I thought this was a fun little match. It started off hot. I thought this was going to be the main event. I'm not going to lie. It was the opening match. And I'm loving this tag team. Bullet Club Gold kicks ass. Sean looked good. And Ricky just feels like such a big star. Ricky feels like a star here. But yeah, the Bang Bang Gang, the Bullet Club Gold, whatever you want to call it, the Blade Runner out of nowhere. Oh
yeah, that's
God.
One of the craziest Blade Runner counters I've seen, dude. That was
dude,
nuts.
It's so good. But it's so good. Jay White and Juice. Give me them against FTR, seriously.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I will buy into that all day. But any of the thoughts you had on this match?
Juice's gear looked fucking sick.
Juice screaming, Ricky!
Yeah, you could hear that in the crowd from where you were, from what you said.
I could hear Juice screaming. And there wasn't too much I could hear like from wrestlers themselves.
That just tells you how loud Juice is, you know what I mean?
I heard Konosuke hit a fucking leg slap that was really fucking loud. But
oh, nice.
There
That's
wasn't
cool.
too much other than that. But I could hear Ricky being screamed.
I love that Konosuke hits hard enough that you fucking literally hear it anyway.
It was like one of his knees. Everyone around me is like, oh.
The crowd was super with it. It's just crazy, bro. Like 2 months ago, we were watching Jay White and we were like, just like, oh, what a great wrestler while we were watching New Japan. And like now he's in AEW. This is like surreal, dude. It's insane. You were literally watching Jay White live in person.
Yeah.
We were sitting at home watching him wrestle in Japan at like 3 a.m. like 2 months ago.
Including the Eddie match. I mean, the match with Eddie, where Eddie sent him packing from New Japan, was fucking awesome.
Bro,
What a crazy situation. All right. Yeah, but other than that, it's like insane counter, like we said, and the crowd was super into this. And I'm hoping we get that Sean Spears run as a single star. I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
Man just had a kid. Let him make some money.
Lexi Nair interviewed the Hardy Boys and Hook in the backstage area. This was not on the screen. Isaiah Cassidy is missing. The firm kidnapped Cassidy at Applebee's. Ethan Page threatened to have Big Bill chokeslam Cassidy off some scaffolding until Matt Hardy agrees to make the firm deletion match next Friday at Rampage. Matt agrees, and then Big Bill chokeslam Cassidy off the scaffolding anyways. Hook promised the firm will be deleted.
I like that Hook only speaks when he's, like, super serious, you know?
Yeah. They do protect him in that sense. It's kind of nice. So, up next, we had Naturally Limitless, the tag team. And, yeah. They just won a squash against a couple guys.
Keith Lee yeeted Dustin, which was hilarious.
It was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, look, this tag team, there is what they are. The Mogul Embassy came out to confront Lee and Rhodes from the stage. That's what we're going to, you know?
We need to make a meme out of Swerve coming out and just laughing at people.
Yeah, I'm down. God, Swerve looks so badass. Lexi Nair interviews Sammy Guevara. It was interrupted by Ty Mello, who read Sammy, you know, hey, MJF isn't your friend. And you shouldn't blow his opportunity at the world title by laying down for MJF. She's pretty much just saying what we're all thinking. And I thought she delivered it very well here.
Bro, she cuts pretty good promos, I think. Like, I think people probably just think she doesn't because of the accent. But, dude, it comes across clearly to me. Maybe because I watch her so much on wrestling and, you know, like, I've seen her on Sammy's vlog and stuff. But, like, I don't know, man. I understand her. She comes across pretty cleanly to me. And I love the energy here.
Same. Anna Jas defeats Ashley DeBois. And yeah, pretty much
went to commercial, came back, match ended.
Yeah, Jay caught DeBois with a hangwoman's neckbreaker, locked in the Queen Slayer sleeper for the tap out. This is just a 4.5 minute squash match. And after the match, Julia Hart attacks Jay from behind. They brawl out the ringside. Referee breaks things up. And yeah,
Julia Hart getting bent around the ring post. Jesus Christ,
it was pretty metal. The Outcast said the usual. This time they're wearing t-shirts. They started barking and they're wearing a t-shirt with a picture of
are we going to talk about this t-shirt?
You know, it's
AEW sucks at t-shirts, bro. I gotta be honest. Like,
yeah, they put out these shirts as gags and people take them so seriously. You even have Fox News talking about this, which Jesus, people.
I mean, I'm kind of with the common sense side of this argument, which is that I would never wear the shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. There's so many shirts I would never wear, like outside of a wrestling thing, that it's just, that's why to me, the conversation seems kind of dumb. Like, scissor me daddy ass. You're not wearing that shirt down the street. No fucking shot. You know?
I mean, I might.
Damn it. But yeah. There's a lot of discourse this week about a black eye. The Acclaimed to Billy Gunn. I mean, this was 50-second squash. Famouser, the arrival mic drop.
Caster humped the guy's leg afterward.
Which, I guess, GG. Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley will face off in a steel cage on Dynamite, which we'll talk about actually that in a second here. But main event time, Jay Lethal defeats Cash Wheeler. What'd you think of this one? And Mark Briscoe is the ringside enforcer.
Yeah, Mark Pringle of the Pringle brothers. Mark Briscoe. So I actually I think this feud is unique because of the Mark Briscoe of it all, man. Like, I think that's what makes this interesting. You know what I mean? Like, I think I wouldn't care about this if Mark Briscoe wasn't at the center of it. You know what I mean? Like, because like, it's not the match I want FTR having. But if you add that in there and the relationship there and the history and the fact that they haven't been there, and it would make sense that Mark was close to his other friends in the meantime. You know what I mean? Like, all this just kind of, you know, works well for me. And then, you know, FTR don't have to win all the time. Like, they're established, you know, they're 2-time world champions. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think the match was like spectacular or anything. I feel like I always rag on cash matches, but I feel like it was fine. He's good. I just don't think they let him. I don't think he, I think because he wants to stick to what FTR does, and more power to him. That's what he wants to do. But
I want to see the cash that does flippy shit. You know what I mean? Like, because that is the cash that I've seen a couple of matches from an AEW. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he does this too, you know? Some Fargo Strut action. Like I said, not spectacular, but the story's continuing. I think, like, having Mark Briscoe turn on one of these teams permanently after whatever the resolution to this is probably the right move. I would think, but I don't know. It could be FTR. That could be dramatic storytelling right there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll go that way because he's been catching them cheating at every turn, but you know.
Yeah, and it's setting up a unique thing. Lethal and Jarrett are a good first feud for...
Do you think we're going to get Mark Briscoe as the special guest referee? Is that going to be the gimmick of this? To make sure it's a fair match?
I think I could see it, actually. Yeah. It makes sense to me. So, okay. That being said, what do we got this week? This upcoming week of AEW action. And like I said, next week, we know that there's a Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley cage match. That's fucking awesome. Anytime you get a match announced 2 weeks out.
Why couldn't they get that for the IWGP title?
Oh, yes. So here's the current card. We got an Elite promo. Ricky Starks versus Juice Robinson. Saraya versus Willow Nightingale. MJF and Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin and Jack Perry with Double or Nothing AEW World title match stipulations on the line. The Trace de Mayo Trios Battle Royal.
Okay, there's a trio in that match of the Lucha Bros and Elio De Vikingo. What a trio.
Yeah, we got that trio. We got the Varsity Athletes. We got Hobbs, Marshall, and Aaron Solo. We got the Acclaimed Daddy Ass. We got the Dark Order, Uno, Reynolds, and Silver. And then we got the Butcher, Blade, and Kip. That's going to be a fun battle royal match. And yeah, I'm cool with that. And the other thing we have is Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, and Orange Cassidy and Bandido taking on the Jericho Appreciation Society, Hager, Garcia, Menard, and Parker. That'll be it for next week, and that'll be it for us, guys. So thanks for hanging around. Again, Eat Sleep Elite's the handle. We appreciate you guys. If you give us a little 5-star frog splash review on the pod, if you enjoyed it, maybe hit the follow button on whatever platform you're on to check us out next week or later in this week when we have the draft AEW Dynamite versus Collision. If you stayed around this long, we can tell you the base rule set that we have is Dynamite's going to have Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, which I'll be picking for Dynamite. And Collision's going to have CM Punk and FTR. So kind of your fundamental core teams of each. And we figured that'd be fun to do. And Duke will be picking for Collision. So I think that's going to be fun. We're going to do a few picks. We've
Laid out the roster. There was no shot. If you had said you were going to take the CM Punk to try and like switch it up, I'd be like, no. Give me CM Punk. Yeah, He's my boy.
Yeah. You were able to watch CM Punk while you were younger growing up. You got that. And I've been watching Kenny Omega and I guess the Young Bucks since I've started watching. So we've kind of got this cool little weird mixture thing that we can toss together. It'll work. Dynamite versus Collision.
Bro, so I remember when Luke Gallows was like post Festus and was part of the Straight Edge Society. I remember.
Yeah. Serena Deeb in there. Oh, might have to pick her just for that. No.
I might have to just to have one segment on Collision where I'm like, you look a lot different.
Yeah, right. So thanks for checking that out, guys. If you did, we really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll see.
Oh my
guys.
God, no! I know exactly what I'd do with that. Actually, hold on, I'm cutting you off here. I know exactly what I'd do with that segment. I'd have her come out and point out that he's the bald one now.
God damn it! Yes, that'll be it, guys. Thanks for hanging around. We'll see you guys on the flip side, Vision.